Today is Pentecost, a day we celebrate yearly in our church, 50 days after Easter. It's the day that we celebrate as the birth of the church. It's the day that the Holy Spirit is given to us. And as we do, we read this scripture from the second chapter of Acts that tells the story of Pentecost, when the disciples, still gathered alone and locked and scared in a room, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and start to share the good news of Jesus with the crowd that have gathered, and they hear it in their own languages, and we're told 3,000 come to believe on that day. So this is our scripture from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I said. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Maybe you've experienced it too. Maybe you've been traveling, probably internationally in a country that doesn't speak English. And after several days, you almost become accustomed to hearing a language that isn't yours. And then there you are in a restaurant or a museum or another crowded place, and from across the room you hear something. And it even takes you a few seconds to realize that you can understand it. Somebody else is speaking your language. And perhaps for a brief second, you feel like you are home. Or maybe you're somewhere a little closer but still far away from home, and you look up and you see somebody in a Cleveland sports t-shirt. Or maybe you've had the all too common Ohio experience of being off somewhere far away and sharing an O-H-I-O with strangers when you spot somebody else in an Ohio State shirt. There's something in these moments that in a place that is not at all home, you suddenly feel home. So imagine living in a place that is clearly not your home, where people don't speak your language, and yet you still gather to celebrate your religious holiday, even though you know you aren't going to be able to understand what's going on. And then when you gather, something amazing happens. You understand every word. And so does everybody else around you. It's all in your own language. And for a moment, you feel like you're at home. That's exactly what's happening in our scripture this morning. This is the story of Pentecost, the day that we celebrate as the birth of the church. It's the day that we celebrate as the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the day that the message of Jesus starts to be spread far and wide. And it's a day for those who had gathered in the scripture to feel like they belong. It's a day when they feel like they are home. There's a lot that we can learn from the story of Pentecost. But what struck me about it this year was that while Pentecost is the birth of the church, it's also the birth of a new home. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are all given a place to belong. The first thing that happens when the Holy Spirit fills the disciples is that the good news about Jesus is spread in languages that all can understand. The Holy Spirit is a gift not just for the scared and confused disciples, but for all people. The Holy Spirit brings home not just the disciples, but all the people who have gathered. There is a place for all those gathered in Christ. There's a home even for those who are far away from home. There's a place to belong. This church that's being birthed, it's a place to be home. It's a place to be known. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is bringing people together. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is bringing people home. That's the promise of Pentecost for us today as well. There is a home for you here. You belong here. Through the Holy Spirit, we all can belong in Christ. This is a place where you can feel like it's home. The church is a place for belonging. It's a place that we can feel like home even when you may be far from home. It's a place to belong. And this promise, it's true because it's through the Holy Spirit that we belong. Belonging doesn't come from some action on our part. Belonging doesn't come when we take the first steps or do the right thing or fit in the right way. Belonging happens because the Holy Spirit has declared way back on Pentecost that the church is a home for all people. You belong here. The Holy Spirit has already declared that church can be a home for you. You belong here. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit brought home people from diverse backgrounds and places. You belong here because your belonging comes from the Holy Spirit. There's nothing about yourself that you need to change or be to belong. You belong here. This belonging, it isn't dependent on if you worship in person or online. It isn't dependent on your age, your marital status, if you have children, where you live, or what service you go to. You belong here. Whether everything in your life is going great and smooth and perfect, or everything feels like it's falling apart, you belong here because the Holy Spirit has declared it so. This is a promise that we strive to believe as a church. That's why if you go downstairs to pray in the new addition after worship today, you'll find places for all people to belong. You'll see space for youth to have their own area so that church can be a home for youth during a time in their lives that's notoriously difficult to find places to belong. You will see space that will become a playland for children, a place for kids to belong and play and imagine and be creative. You'll see space that will become an adult classroom so that adults can be open and vulnerable and learn and grow together. You'll see space specifically designed for those with special needs so that all people can truly have a place to belong in our church by having space that's adaptable for them. You'll see space for a bathroom for those with special needs or those who need privacy or assistance in some way to be able to belong in our church. We strive to believe this promise as a church. We strive to be a place where all can feel home and belonging. Of course, within this promise is also a challenge. We're challenged to make a home for others. We're challenged to make church a place for others. We're challenged to offer belonging to all. This can be difficult. I think it's why some of the people sneer in the scripture when all this is going on. Because it's difficult to offer belonging to all. To people who might be different than us. To people who don't like the same things or act the same way or believe exactly as we do. Yet this is the challenge of this scripture. This is the challenge of Pentecost. This is the challenge that the Holy Spirit is calling us to. To be people who offer belonging to others. Many of you already do this in your own lives. I remember a story a woman at my previous church once told me. Her son had recently started a relationship with a new woman, and they were working through bringing together children they both had from previous relationships. The woman told me that the first time her son had brought his new girlfriend and her kids over to swim at her house, she wanted the kids to feel welcome. So she told them about the snacks and the drinks that she kept in a fridge in her garage. She noticed the older son of the woman, who she was already a little more worried about fitting in because he was older than the rest of her grandchildren. She noticed him open the fridge and look around for a few minutes and then close the fridge without taking anything to drink. So she casually asked him what it was that he liked to drink, and he said Dr. Pepper. So the next day, she went to the store and bought Dr. Pepper. The next time they all came over, the boy again went to the fridge and had a huge smile on his face when he saw that the drink that he wanted was there. That is offering belonging at its core, to be willing to listen to what people need and want, and then being willing to change to provide it. We do this in our lives all the time. And we're called to offer belonging in the same way in our church. Sometimes it's simple, like in that story. Sometimes it's more challenging, because it means that sometimes we have to hold our opinions or change our way of doing things or interact with people who are different than us. And yet, despite these challenges, we offer belonging, because we believe that our church is at its best when we're thinking more of those who aren't yet a part of our church than those who are already here. We believe that our church is at its best when we offer belonging to all. We believe that our church is at its best when all can feel a sense of home here. Many of you already know this. A while ago, I was talking to one of our shut-ins. He was telling me about how he and his wife were at one time, a long time ago, in charge of greeters and ushers at our church. He told me that what they would do is that they would take notice when somebody new started coming to church, which they could easily do because they were greeting everybody who came in each week. They would get to know the person, get to know their name, start greeting them by name. And then after they had come for a while, they would invite them to serve as a greeter or an usher. He said they did this not just to get more greeters or to try to pounce on new people before they got taken by another ministry, but because they knew that people needed to feel a sense of belonging at a church if they were going to stay around. And this was one way that they could show people that they belonged. You belong here. Pentecost is the birth of the church. Pentecost is also the birth of a place to call home, a place to belong. And because of Pentecost, we are challenged to make the church a place to belong for all. So how might you offer belonging? What need might you listen for? How might you change so that somebody else can belong? What are you going to do for those who aren't yet a part of our church, who don't yet know the promise of belonging? I wanted us to close with a blessing for Pentecost by Jan Richardson, a blessing that calls us to belonging. It's called This Grace That Scorches Us, a blessing for Pentecost Day. Here's one thing you must understand about this blessing. It is not for you alone. It is stubborn about this. Do not even try to lay hold of it if you are by yourself, thinking you can carry it on your own. To bear this blessing, you must first take yourself to a place where everyone does not look like you or think like you, a place where they do not believe precisely as you believe, where their thoughts and ideas and gestures are not exact echoes of your own. Bring your sorrow, bring your grief, bring your fear, bring your weariness, your pain, your disgust at how broken the world is, how fractured, how fragmented by its fighting, its wars, its hunger, its perchant for power, its ceaseless repetition of the history it refuses to rise above. I will not tell you this blessing will fix all that, but in this place where you have gathered, wait, watch, listen. Lay aside your inability to be surprised, your resistance to what you do not understand. See then whether this blessing turns to flame on your tongue, sets you to speaking what you cannot fathom, or opens your ear to a language beyond your imagining that comes as a knowing in your bones, a clarity in your heart that tells you, this is the reason we were made. For this ache that finally opens us, for this struggle, this grace that scorches us towards one another and into the blazing day.